This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with, I was going to say Macca because it always rolls off the tongue, but it's not. It's Harrius.
I can be Lady Macca if that makes it easier.
No, you can't. You are Harrius.
Actually, no, Macca is irreplaceable. He's so unique that, in fact, nobody can sit in this chair and pretend or try to emulate him. We've just got to follow in the... the jet stream that he leaves whenever he exits.
Certainly do. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was reading the paper as you do.
Old school.
And I read an amazing opinion piece by an amazing person that completely moved me. And that person is here in the studio now, and we're going to have
as luck would have
her.
It, how wonderful.
Well, we went to a lot of trouble to arrange this, of course.
Here's so, what we prepared earlier.
So Belinda Duarte is the chief executive of an organisation called Culture is Life. Good morning, Belinda.
Good morning, Tess. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for coming into the studio.
My pleasure.
So the piece that you wrote was really a piece about... Aboriginality, identity, culture, and really about suicide as well. Mm-hmm. And I was actually so moved by it that I thought we just need to have you in the studio to talk about that and talk about some of the work that you're doing as well.
Sure. Look, it's a real pleasure to be here. And, you know, thank you for the team here taking some time to have a chat with me. The experiences for the LGBTIQ community in suicide is horrifically high. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for our brothers and sisters out there that in that community as well, again, it's layered given the cultural complexities as well. So it's something that touches us in so many ways, and it shouldn't be something we have to face. And for me, I guess the opinion piece leading into the year was something, again, that so many of our communities across the country are experiencing. And for it to hit the media shines a light on it. And we need to look deeper at what some of those issues are.
So tell us a little bit about Culture is Life and your work, not just in relation to the opinion piece, but more generally around this idea of culture and identity on the one hand, and often the sense of dislocation or disconnectedness that can come to that. We know very well from our LGBTIQA+ experiences that that's a common theme for us. I think there are many common themes here. What is it that you do, and how do you try to shine a light on this and to get some sunlight on this issue?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a born and raised Ballarat girl, born on Wadawurrung country, but I have the blessing of my ancestry to Wotjobaluk and Jarjarung, with Polish ancestry as well as Celtic roots. So I do want to, anchor myself on country here. Mm. We're in a space, a part of the Kulin Nation of the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung country here based in Melbourne. And I guess, you know, in noting that protocol of where we reside and live, what it does is connect us to our ancestral story and the ancestral story of this country. And my hope is that we can all fully realise and enjoy that and allow that into who we are as a collective peoples, and how significant that is in building a sense of belonging and identity. And I guess Culture is Life work is really focused on backing Aboriginal-led activities and programs that really support the cultural piece in our young people to, you know, spearhead the complex space of suicide, you know, from a health sector perspective. Social determinants are often spoken about, which is around, you know, securing employment and housing and education pathways and the
basics,
likes.
Absolute
Those
basics.
Indicators. Yeah.
Absolute basic Right.
And you know, but all the evidence shows us. You know, I'm not a researcher. I'm a teacher by trade. I've worked for years across streams, and one of the core founding parts of my work has been with young people, and particularly disadvantaged young people and our mob, you know, our mob that have been across the country in Victoria in different regional rural settings. And Cultures Life is backing our people out there that are often beg, borrowing, stealing to take, well, I mean that, you know, not literally, but, you know, taking our young people out to do work in, you know, exploring, breathing life, strengthening, giving, you know, whether it's law-based traditional activities or the expression and affirmation of their identity based on their experience. And that doesn't always mean that that experience or that life story is a good one. And I mean that in a sense that they mightn't have had access to the knowledge of their country. They don't mightn't have been because of the impact of past policies and the stolen generation of their parents or grandparents on their lives means that there's pieces missing, and what that, if we don't address the cultural determinants of health, nothing changes for our young people. Mm.
Mm. And for so many people, the lead up to the Australia Day celebrations was a very, very difficult time. That's something which, again, has been felt all over metropolitan and indeed regional Victoria, the area that I represent. You touched on this earlier in some of the things that you've written, but what have been the things that have come to you around that sense of loss or of lack of belonging or of lack of sense of self or groundedness that's come through for you around those celebrations?
It's an interesting one. There's the personal experience of me that I feel so, so deeply connected, and so our families, our communities, our kinship structures are well and truly connected as a people, and the love that we feel to, like any community, your family and the layers of your ancestry means that how do we acknowledge that history? Because, you know, whether it's communities around the world and the impact of the Holocaust, those people and communities acknowledge the acts or the moments that were definitively destructive and impacted the Jewish community in so many ways. The loss of people, a whole range of lives that were taken away into the future because
of that. And the LGBTIQ community absolutely.
As well. Yeah,
absolutely. You're absolutely right. My babcia on my Polish side was a prisoner of war, and as a Polish woman, we didn't get to know all that story, and understanding visiting Poland for myself was insightful and heartbreaking, and to see the impact of the LGBTI community in there, and Poles, Gypsies, people with disabilities, it's just, it rips your heart out.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so here, Australia Day has been one of those days where, again, we have increasingly loud voices around the importance of acknowledging that pain. What's the sort of work that Cultures Life is doing in relation to those links between those certain markers and those moments in history, on the one hand, and regaining a sense of self and of self-acceptance and of pride in place and self and community at the
same
time?
Sure. Look, what we know, we can do everything from an Aboriginal community perspective in supporting our mob to feel stronger, culturally connected. But if we send them out of a community that discriminates, is racist, and or just doesn't affirm what is important from a cultural perspective around who we are as Aboriginal people, my question was, and our question from Culture is Life, is to say, what message is being sent to our young people and children on a day that chooses to ignore the voices of their families, their grandparents, their great-grandparents? The symbolic act of requesting and noting the day 1938 as a day of mourning, and that as years pass in 1994, then the country just decides that that's going to be the day that they will acknowledge a public holiday. That dismissive approach to an experience and a moment that forever changed the way in which Aboriginal communities lived. And it's about actually recognising the cost of that day, but the impact on those communities across the country, our communities.
Belinda, that is incredibly powerful to hear it expressed like that, so simply and so eloquently. Actually moves me right here in this studio right now. I think that we all have a lot of thinking to do, and we've got a lot of work to do as a nation. And, you know, there is a groundswell movement that's happening right now, and, you know, it sort of comes and goes every year in January around about the 26th when we have this debate. But we need to actually take it much more seriously, and we need to do something with that. And you're on Saturday Magazine with Harriet Ching and myself, Tass, and our guest this morning, Belinda Duarte from Culture is Life. And we've been talking about culture identity, being Aboriginal, what Australia Day means, and I have to say, you've actually just hit me straight between the eyes, and I'm still just trying to actually deal with this conversation about the impact that this, you know, 26th of January has on a really important part of our community.
One of the things that I did want to pick up on is again, that ongoing opposition that's often a very loud part of media and of public discussion on the issue. How do you go about having conversations in a way that conveys the importance of this issue for you and the pain that sits underneath mm-hmm. it in a way that's often part of conversations that are incredibly difficult with people who are often difficult to get to in terms of having them understand where you're coming from?
You know, it's a challenge, and I guess the LGBTIQ community are in the same boat again and again. You know, you understand that challenge of getting people to unlearn their discrimination or unlearn or build and be educated and informed to something that deepens their knowledge and understanding. So,
and the majority of the population making decisions about us, a small group of people.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think, you know, there's that experience for Aboriginal peoples in the sense that we make up just under 3% of the Australian population. But I really think, you know, I'm a big believer historically there. Unfortunately, our country's previous generations were taught the wrong thing. And this is about re-educating, and it's about unlearning what's already been learned.
So that intergenerational change really is what's needed. But how to unpick that when it's not so long ago? I mean, I remember my grandmother telling me about how, as a nurse in rural Victoria, she thought it was a really wonderful thing to be able to help Aboriginal children to live as part of civilised society. That was her honestly held belief.
Absolutely.
And now, even two generations on, there are still people who hold to that.
That's right.
How do we keep challenging that in our everyday lives to have this greater sense of community around participation that at its heart has Aboriginal self-determination built into it?
Look, I mean, Aboriginal people across the country, our first people have been advocating for years and talking about a whole lot of stuff. And there's some great work happening out there and talking about the excellent things and the stories, the untold stories that we as a nation should be deeply proud of and deeply connected to. And it's something that, you know, we are on a land that celebrates, should be celebrating the oldest living culture in
yes,
the world.
Absolutely.
It is our responsibility for future generations and internationally to give it the depth and focus and honour that it deserves. And I think Australia Day unearths a whole heap of things that the collective broader Australian community need to think through to unpack what they've learned and to be more informed.
But I hate to be political about this, but I was so angry when one of our guests, whom we've had many good conversations with here in this very studio, Dean Smith, actually tabled a bill in federal parliament to legislate 26th of January as Australia's Day of Celebration. I was really angry about that because it's so out of step with how everybody feels about this.
Yeah,
look, I mean, even my parents who barely speak English said to me, that's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, again, I mean, you just have to look up the road from where we are now. At a federal level, yes, these things, I mean, the Uluru Statement has been languishing. It's almost petrified through inaction. But at a state level, and it was only around 3 years ago that the Aboriginal flag was first flown on the top of Parliament House for the first time, but that remains there now, and we're moving toward treaty.
It's exciting.
How do we work toward embracing those opportunities that we have to continue that positive progress despite these efforts by various politicians, almost certainly from the coalition side and conservative politics, to keep us sort of shackled in the 1950s?
Absolutely. Look, there's a couple of things I want to very quickly say. There is no people's more deeply connected and more proud of our country or countries, the collective 300 plus language groups across this country, than Aboriginal peoples. And daily we celebrate that relationship with the land. And again, people have different views on this. Just like all communities, there is diversity. Mm. I want us to celebrate collectively on a day that represents who we are with an inclusive approach, not a day that symbolises a day of mourning and was formally recognised in 1938 by our Aboriginal leaders. What do we need to do? We need to keep having those great conversations with diverse Aboriginal voices, those that will bring context and understanding for a non-Aboriginal people to decide to be curious and inquisitive and deeply listen and be very clear about where you're getting your information from and to seek that out. There is a range of groups in the reconciliation space, reconciliation action groups across the country. I'm co-chair of Reconciliation Victoria, and in Victoria we've got a great cohort of Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people working together to do amazing things on the ground. Be a part of the solutions. Be a part of that movement to advocate and stand with us strongly as allies. You know, we saw the march on January 26, having one of the highest participations, which was an act of, collective act of support to reconsider and reframe it. People had different views there, like any.
I loved it because there were banners in Chinese, there were banners in Vietnamese. Absolutely. I even saw something in Greek, and it was just so diverse.
Yeah.
And it was all these different segments of our community that had come together to say, we need to have a conversation about this, and we need to do something that is inclusive. Not pretends that bit of Australia didn't happen.
And you know what? It's such an opportunity for all Australian people to connect to the ancestral identity of this country. Australia Day is meant to be about the Australian identity and to be able to truly connect and anchor. When we see the haka in New Zealand, can you tell who is Maori and who is not Maori? Mm. No.
Well, when you hear the national anthem, you hear different language too. That's
right. You see the anchorage into the ancestral story of this land. And this is something that I hope in my lifetime I get to see. But that's why I'm advocating on it. It's, it's part of the DNA on both sides around social impact and social justice.
I've now written to Jacinta Ardern twice.
Great.
To try to get her to come into this studio and have a chat with us. Her office hasn't actually shut the door now because she's doing a trip to Melbourne, and I'd love to talk about this stuff with her as well.
And the basic information as well that can help with people's understanding that Australia is not one country under Aboriginal culture and communities. It's numerous groups and languages and histories and cultures, and that continuous culture overall informs your relationship with land, but it's comprised of so many parts. In the same way, I still find it fascinating that people refer to Africans, and you just go, well, hold on a second.
That's right.
Yeah, who are they?
you can drop
Australia over Europe, and people are totally comfortable with the diversity of language and culture cultural expression.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a monocultural view of Aboriginal peoples. And the one thing, as a first person of this country, you know, it's really critical to understand the impact of the policies and transgenerational trauma on our people and what that means around loss of language and the critical pieces of work that are out there around whether it's revitalisation of it or the integration of elements of our culture into school curriculum. It's obviously a part of our national curriculum framework. Is it being delivered in schools all around the country? It is not. It is not being delivered as comprehensively as it should be. And I, again, you know, reach out to the teaching community and peoples in leadership to ensure that they're having Aboriginal people front and centre leading this, because we know that no change is sustainable unless the people that know and have the knowledge and are living, breathing, are driving that. That's everything that's been documented in many evidence reports.
Well, that's the heart of self-determination, really, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, to have that self-determination and to be in a state that is actually breathing life into the realities of treaty or treaties as a part of a progressive state that does not see it as a threat. Often treaty is seen as a loss of power, and this is a conversation that the broader non-Aboriginal community need to understand as well, that this is not a loss of power. This is actually an asset that benefits all communities, and there's evidence in BC around, you know, treaties having economic benefits for everybody, for all communities.
I feel very proud to be a Victorian, because I know that Victoria is taking this stuff quite seriously at the moment, and we've got a process in place to deal with a treaty, but it's not happening in the rest of the nation.
No,
we've got so far to go.
And we desperately need national leadership on this issue. We desperately need, I mean, it's great what we're doing here, and I'm, as I said, I'm proud of it, but we do need a national approach. We are a single nation of 25 million people. I mean, you know, you get 25 million people living in cities.
That's right.
But even at a state level, when we debated the treaty bill, the coalition all voted against it because they said we'll wait for the Commonwealth to do this. And
it'll never happen while we've got those bozos in Canberra at the moment.
Everyone who voted for the bill was standing up and saying, we don't have any more time to waste, because doing nothing is going to keep us exactly where we've been for decades now. But the other part of what we need to continue to do is to have those conversations in a way that's well resourced and in a way that puts the importance of treaty and of Aboriginal Indigenous issues front and centre in all governments' decision-making processes. So more strength to your arm on that. And it's also about, you know, tackling the sorts of prejudices that we saw along the way with Native Title, for example, those pamphlets that were distributed with hands reaching out over people's, you know, backyards and the Hills Hoist coming under a shadow because of that threat. So again, we've got so much work to do, and leading the charge, I would say, has to actually come from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities in order to get that momentum, but to have us, you know, assisting and doing whatever we can to be consistent with that.
Well, I'm sure, you know, we would want men only looking after women's business, right?
Tony Abbott was the Minister for Women.
Don't go back into the horrible history.
That's where we never want to go back to, but yes, you're right.
Look, just quickly, I do want to say that I'm excited that in this coming couple of days we will be launching a campaign, or the result of a campaign connected to Love and Hope, through a music mentoring workshop held at the World National Indigenous Suicide Prevention Conference with participants, young people and community members, and the role of Love and Hope and how critical that is in not only Aboriginal communities but the broader non-Aboriginal communities across country. And watch the space for it, because it really is quite extraordinary. You've got some amazing people with direct experience of the cost of, you know, horrific rates that we should not be experiencing.
How can our listeners engage with the campaign then,
Look,
Belinda?
You know, jump onto our social media platforms with Culture is Life. Our website has details there. You know, hashtag Love and Hope and hashtag It's Time for Change. You know, enjoy the footage of our campaign that we released last year, and share your thoughts. Share your thoughts. If you actually believe and want to see the change, we want to hear from you as well.
We'll also post that on our social media sites, just so that we can doubly reinforce it. We're almost out of time.
Oh my God,
so I know
really
it goes
fast.
So quickly, doesn't it? Are there any final words that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, look, I just want to say, suicide in particular is a really confronting thing for any community to be faced with, family units and those with partners that we lose. And my heart and my love goes out to those members out in the community that are in a space in which they're not feeling at their best, and know that you have allies, in the Aboriginal community as well. There's support out there for you as well for those that are First Peoples within the LGBTIQ community. As a personal shout out, I just want to send my love and hope to each of you in your own way through your journeys and the challenges that come with the unfortunate ignorance and discrimination that still exists in the
Great community. To have you in the studio, Belinda.
I've loved it. Can I come back? It's
yeah, you can. Yes, you can.
Play,
you can. Maybe come back when the campaign sort of, in full steam and you've had some time with it, and talk to us about the experience and the engagement and what's occurred.
And in relation to the Mental Health Royal Commission too,
which
would be really
absolutely
useful to hear your
absolutely
take.
Awesome. Thank you
Thank
so
you for
much
coming into the studio. If you want to find out more about any of that, Culture is Life is the website. The campaign is called Love and Hope. That was our wonderful guest, Belinda Duarte.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.